Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lil, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Red City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best. The Chemist Music Group. Go hard in the pain, but I still cross over. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. Sorry about the last week and a half. We've been having some difficulties here. But we back up and rolling in the studio. We got the usual suspects, T-Will, C-Rush. C-Rush, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, it's nothing like a fall playoff baseball day here in the state of Michigan, man, because, you know, we used to it, man.
Yes, sir. I got to be honest. I know you guys get to enjoy the game while we taping the show. You guys got to keep me abreast of what's going on because I have no idea. T-Will, what's going on?
Not much. Fine. Just feel good to be in a winner's bracket, man. I got my first win as a high school head coach, man. And, won my first game in fantasy this week.
Yeah. Congratulations on both of them. we got a good one for you today. We actually recorded the show last week. But we couldn't air it. We had some big time problems with it. Good thing we didn't because I went 0-3 in the pick'em. So you guys didn't hear it. So it didn't happen. So we got another batch of pick'ems for you today. We're going to talk about Jay-Z and his experience with budgets. We're going to talk about that and how he feels about budgets. We're going to talk about the Texans and Matt Schaub. He's in the record books alone by giving up 4 pick sixes in a row, 4 weeks in a row. So we're going to dig into that. Lions recap, and we'll preview the game against those hot Browns. That vision is coming into play as C-Rush will let us know about that. But we're going to start with T-Will on this one, and we're going to talk about Michigan. They played Minnesota. We ran away with the game in the second half. T-Will, what do you think? Are you impressed? Are you still kind of shaky? How do you feel about Michigan after that game?
Well, I feel better than I did after after that win we squeaked out against UConn. You know, one thing that I can say is, you know, Michigan does respond. You know, one thing about the Michigan program, I think they've always had teams that are resilient and respond to certain situations. You know, we were 4-0, but I'm going to be honest with you. We had to be the most unhappy 4-0 team in the country probably because we weren't playing up to our standards. So bye week helped us out tremendously. We looked sharp. We were running the ball. We put Taylor Lewan in some unique situations. And we just went on ahead and it looked like old school Michigan football. We just ran power after power after power with some play action pass. I think Devin looked a little bit better in his decision making. I don't think he was as accurate as I would like to see him. Defense stepped up and made some plays. Those guys know secondaries are making plays. The front sevens playing very fast and physical. So, yeah, it's fine. It's kind of where I want to see them at, you know, but it's a Big Ten opener, and I know it's a long way through this Big Ten season. So we have to continue to improve and progress all the way through because we've used our bye week up. So we're pretty much done with that, and we're rolling here through the Big Ten season. And like I said, fine, I was definitely impressed, and I'm glad that we responded the way we did.
Now, T-Will, now you know this as a coach. Fans only see games. And you know, as coaches, we want to get better every day. Whether it's just practice, if it's a day of rest, if it's game film, if it's mental exercises, we want to get better every day. So do you think after that game, can you say Michigan got better?
Yes, I can say Michigan got better. They got down to fundamentals. And not just the players fine, but the coaches got better. You can see it in the offensive play calling. You know, Michigan had a game plan. They wanted to run the ball. They looked a lot like those old Michigan teams, and they stuck to it. You know, defensively, you know, we got after it. We brought some pressure, and we forced some bad decisions. So, yes, I say we got our players got better, and also our coaches got better fine.
Yeah, and of course I meant to say, you know, prayer goes out to Coach Kill. He's still battling epilepsy and, you know, he couldn't be there for the game and, you know, prayers still go out to him. But see, Rush, I'll go to you now. I mean, were you impressed?
I mean, yes, I was. You know, after the last two games that we've seen, I had no choice but to be. You know, we corrected some stuff, and like I said last podcast, a lot of East West. I mean, a lot of North South running. You know, that's one thing that we had to do. Like T. Will said, Taylor Lewan was huge in that running game, shoveling the offensive line a little bit, running off Devin Funchess' side, and actually getting him the ball more. You know, he may be a tight end, but he may be our most explosive playmaker with the size that Gallen just doesn't have. So I really like the fact that we utilize him. We moved him around in certain spots, and it showed. Him and Devin have a great chemistry together this weekend, it seems. And, you know, that's the one thing. You know, when you come out here and beat a team, that can bolster confidence for yourself. So I like what I've seen. You know, first half, of course, it was after we score and then they score, of course, it's like, oh, here we go again. But you know what? They calmed their nerves and they corrected the mistakes that's going to happen. It's going to be mistakes every week. They were coached up right, so we got to get ready for this weekend.
Yes, sir. You're right about that. Last week, I know the people didn't get an opportunity, C. Rush, to listen to the podcast, but one thing you talked about in our bye week, we kind of all talked about it, was the coaching adjustments and, you know, coaching the guys up and motivating and, you know, plugging those mistakes that we've made in the past. What did you see from that standpoint, C. Rush, coming off a bye week?
Well, they all to the offensive line a little bit. As far as the specifics of it go, they switched the left tackle, put Taylor Lewan in different places. He was playing primarily left tackle, but they moved him around. You know, Devin Funchess, they used him a lot in run blocking, and they split him wide. That's one thing that I really like to see. You know, you take him from tight to split, there's no safety, not even too many corners that can stay with this kid. So that's one thing that I really was a fan of, because you know what? In order to get your quarterback confidence, you gotta put him in the best position possible. And putting your best playmaker and getting him involved, that's going to make both their confidence very high. And it's going to open up the run game for Fitz Toussaint, Green, and just make this offense flow.
Now, T. Will, like we talked about last time as well, you know, this bye week couldn't have come at a better time. You know, I feel like, honestly, if we'd have played Minnesota without that week off, I can't sit here and say that we'd have won that game for sure. I just couldn't. That's just my opinion. So we both agree that bye week it came at a crucial time. But T. Will, what did you see from the coaching adjustments with an extra week to prepare?
Well, it was get back down to basics, fine. It was, you know what, we're going to get to our style of football. We're going to get back to our philosophy. We're going to go back to our base things. You know, like Shane kind of hit on, you know, they moved their best offensive lineman. They moved him around. He played left tackle. He played tight end on some plays. So they moved him around a little bit, and I think that also may boost his value when it comes to the draft. You know, the Devin Funchess thing, you know, moving him out, he's a matchup problem for anyone. So whether it's a linebacker on him, he's too slow. Whether it's a cornerback on him, he's too small. So they created some matchup issues. And also they just got back to running the rock. And they integrated Derrick Green a lot more in the run game. And that's what I was hoping for, you know, a 1-2 punch with this offense. And they really got him involved fine. And I was extremely happy to see that. And it took a lot of pressure off Devin. You know, now they're running the ball and running the ball successfully, everyone knows, opens up the play action pass, and I think it opened up the play action passing game for Devin. And realistically, at the beginning of the game, I think he only had a couple incomplete passes after he attempted maybe like 14. I think he started off maybe like 12 or 14 or something like that. So, you know, that play action passing game actually helped his percentage. So it helped that offense. It opened it up a little bit. And defensively, you know, those guys are just making plays fine. I mean, I did like what I see, and I hope we continue to progress.
Yeah, T, you bring up some good points there. But let's jump to this Saturday. Here we go again, T. Will. I'm nervous, and I'm just going to be clear on this. Here we go. We had a tough time planning UConn, so we're going to Penn State, and that place is going to be banging. It's going to be rocking. The spread scared me as well. It's only -1.5, so basically, T. Will, as you know, that's a pick'em. So I got to be honest, T, we couldn't play in UConn, so now we go and we play the Nittany Lions, T. Will. I know Penn State haven't looked that good, T. Will, and I understand that, but like we all can agree on, this is more about us. So how do you feel about this game on Saturday, T. Will?
I think early on, I think you asked the question fine about, you know, what kind of team, you know, does Michigan have? You know, I think this game against Penn State, this game will be the game that defines us fine, because we're going on the road in one of the toughest environments that we'll ever play in, you know. And we'll also play against a team that has some studs, fine. Okay, Penn State, yes, they're kind of down because of what they're going through, what their program is going through, and what their program has been through. But they still have studs on both sides of the ball. They have pro prospects. They have a pro prospect at receiver. I believe his last name is Robinson. Very good athlete. Has great hands, great speed, you know, great route runner. So they have NFL athletes on both sides of the ball. So don't think, you know, we're going to go in Penn State and it's just going to be a cakewalk, because Penn State is going to be one of the toughest venues to play in. And not just that, but they're going to be having some tough competition on that field. So I think this game, we'll look back and say, probably would define this Michigan team.
Yeah, I agree, T. I mean, the road scares me in college sports. Like I said, when you're a fan of an elite team at the college level, you know, they start season 3-4-0, and you're like, yeah, we're good. And you go on the road, and it's like nobody can remember a play. So that's why I'm scared to go and play the Nittany Lions. I mean, UConn, that was like a big high school stadium, and, you know, we have problems there under the lights. So hopefully things change and go in our favor. But, T, do you think that, you know, do I need to relax? You know, we're going to win this game for sure or what?
Well, nothing's a for sure thing, fine. But if I was a betting man and I had to put money down, I would bet on the Michigan Wolverines on the road.
See, Rush, I'm going to go to you on this one, man. We all remember that UConn game. I mean, it was very disappointing. Not a good team. They lost to one AA school. Coach got fired. He got kiffened, as everyone is calling it. So, see, Rush, how you feel, man?
Well, my confidence is still high. You know, we're not the same team that we were prior to the bye week. Whether we're at home against Akron, we could have lost that game 1-1. Or at UConn. So I believe that with the coaching adjustments that we've made, and just to getting back to basics, like T. Will said, I think we'll be better on the road, because we have to be. You know, this is not a easy place to go to in Happy Valley. You know, they're still playing with pride down there. They have a great recruiting class, that freshman class, especially that freshman quarterback down there. So we had to come with our A game no matter what. Anytime you step on the field within conference, you have to come with your A game. So, you know, the coaching adjustments that we've made and are going to continue to make this week is really going to propel us and hopefully get us that W. But I have high confidence in this staff that we aren't the same team against the Akron Zips or against the UConn Huskies.
I definitely hope we're not that team, see, Rush. I mean, let's just be honest. But see, Rush, I got to be honest, though. Some coaches scare me. And Jim O'Brien, he's one of those guys on the offensive side of the ball. I think he looks for your weaknesses, and he exploits it. Like, a lot of people really don't give him credit on what he's doing and what he's working with, what he has done at Penn State, and he doesn't even have a full loaded gun, so to speak. I mean, you got to give this guy some credit. But see, Rush, do you worry about that? You know, he might find our weaknesses on defense and really exploit us with his NFL background?
He can. He has all the knowledge to do it. Now, does he have the tools? He has a great freshman quarterback. He has a great defensive line. But does he have the intangible tools at tight end and the playmakers at receiver to stretch the field that he can work with? You know, we get Jake Ryan back this week, so we're going to have a little momentum as well. He's cleared to play this week, so it's going to be, when you get your anchor, your leader on defense back, it can do something to momentum, and especially going on the road this week, we really need him.
Yeah, I agree. He's a very good player, but I got to be honest, man. I want to be impressed this week. Like, I want to be impressed. I want that game to be on, and I want to say, you know what? They never had a shot. You know, this was never in doubt. But I think it's going to be a hectic environment, and like T-Will said, nothing is for sure, and it's going to be a tough one. But let's switch gears here and see, Rush, I'll stick with you. We're going to go to the Lions. Calvin Johnson didn't play, and it hurt the Lions, and it hurt my fantasy team. I lost by 7, and obviously I could have played somebody else, and I could have won. So that hurt me as well. But see, Rush, in professional sports, you know, you don't win without your best player. Like, it just doesn't happen. You're not going to beat a good team without your best player. You're not going to win a championship without your best player. But were you impressed on how the Lions played without Calvin Johnson, see, Rush?
Well, you know, in fantasy, you got to wake up before 1 o'clock Eastern to alternate those lineups. But you know, with the Lions, I was impressed defensively because you know what, they contained that explosive Green Bay offense as much as they could. You know, whether they were in bad field position and this, that, and the other, they did a great job, in my opinion, against the hungry Green Bay team. You know, the old line team, it could have been ugly. Like, they could have just laid down, our best players not playing. Okay, let's just take it.
But you know what? We came out and played very well, I believe. You know, so that's one huge thing that we need to build off of on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, you know, it's not the same running holes for Reggie Bush when they got 9 in the box. You know, I'm not even – nobody's checking Durham. Nobody's checking Pettigrew. Nobody's checking Scheffler. You know, they can go one-on-one with those guys. So it changes the look that Matthew Stafford got. But my thing is this. Offensively, Scott Linehan, if you know all week that your best player may not play, you got to find exotic ways, creative ways to get Reggie Bush the ball in space and just have everybody coached up. I know it's hard to do with your best player out, and it's virtually impossible. But offensively, we look like a JV team, you know, without our best player out there. And that goes to show, for one, how great of a player that he is, and two, how much that he makes our offense go. So without him, Reggie can't run. Without him, Fourier, Scheffler, and anybody else can't catch the football. Without him, our defense is starting in our own territory most of the time. So that was the huge thing that I took away from this game. But defensively, I loved the effort, loved the way we played, kept the penalties to a minimum. But you know what? They held their own much as they could, but we got to build off this defensively.
I agree. I think that's the key. We got to build off of it defensively. I mean, if Calvin Johnson is out for the season, we can forget about it anyway. But T. Will, I want to go to you on this one. I mean, because I agree 100% with C. Rush. I was impressed on our defense. But I got to be honest. The offense, I wasn't shocked by it at all. I mean, I just wasn't shocked. Calvin Johnson is very good. His supporting cast is not good. So I wasn't shocked at all. These guys can't even catch. But T. Will, what did you think about the Lions on Sunday?
I was extremely impressed with our defense, guys. Extremely impressed. I think they held their own, considering what they had on the other side of that coin in our offense. And offensively, you know, Scott Linehan, he kept it very vanilla. The offense was very vanilla. It was like some of our base stuff. And we have to understand, Reggie Bush is a great player. But when you add Reggie Bush and Calvin Johnson together, they're dynamic. Okay, they feed off of each other. They make our offense go. You know, Calvin Johnson makes Reggie Bush even better. Reggie Bush makes Calvin Johnson even better. So when one of those guys are out, is the impact of it is just, you know, insane. So as a defensive coordinator, now I know at receiver I have, you know, Joe Blow and Smush Smash over here. I could check those guys with anyone. You know, so now it's like, you know what, I'm not going to let Reggie Bush beat me. And that's what the Packers, you know, that's what they basically did. Our offense was vanilla. And, you know, we become, you know, easy to defend offensively with Calvin Johnson out. Same thing as with Reggie Bush, you know. You know, with him out, you know, Calvin Johnson is still Megatron, but at the same time, you know, it's even tougher on Calvin when Reggie's out. So we're an awesome offense when they're both playing and they're both healthy. But when one of them is out, guys, I mean, this offense can take a turn for the worse at any moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree on this one. You know, Calvin Johnson is a huge difference maker. But I think we were all, I don't even know if to use the word impressed. I think we all were kind of shocked on how well we played, because you kind of scratch your head and say, wow, if we were at 100%, we might have won this game. Because at 100%, I don't think that we're going to score under 22 points. That's just my opinion. I think the defense did a heck of a job. But T. Will, let's talk about the Browns here. You look at this before the schedule, before the season start, T. Will, and you go, okay, you know, we might lose at Lambeau, but bam, we going to beat these Browns. But now, T-Wheel, those hot Browns. You know, Norv Turner got that offense going, T-Wheel. What you expect to see on this one on Sunday?
Well, first off, I expect to see a quarterback in Brandon Whedon to come in and be rejuvenated. You know, he had a starting position taken away from him. He has an opportunity to go back and play because Brian Hoyer tore his ACL, which is never good. But at the same time, I expect to see Brandon Whedon to come in and prove himself. You know, he's been, you know, in my opinion, so-called humble. You know, he had to sit on the bench, you know, for a few games and kind of watch someone else run his team in his eyes. So I expect him to be crisp. You know, and at the same time, it depends on which Lions team we have. You know, will we have a Lions team with Calvin Johnson out there? We'll have all our weapons, because if that's the case, then I'll tell you like this, guys. I'm expecting the Lions to win by double digits. You know, if we don't have Calvin Johnson, you know, almost, you know, the opposite. You know, I don't know if the Lions can win that game. You know, so with Calvin, hey, double digit wins. Without him, I don't know, guys. I think Cleveland may have the advantage here because they're hot.
See, Rush, we're going to the dog pound, baby. What you expect to see?
You know, that vision that that GM had is coming to play right now. But I really do want to piggyback off what T-Will said. You know, if we got Calvin, we're healthy, all our bullets there. We're an elite team. If we really want to be elite as we think we could be, we got to win this game, you know, regardless if your best player is there or not. We got to come out here and put on a show defensively to a guy in Brandon Whedon who had his job taken from him, and we got to make it known why his job was taken from him, you know. If we're an elite team, we got to create turnovers defensively as well, you know. We're not going to face Aaron Rodgers this week, you know. We're facing Josh Gordon on the outside, Willis McGahee at running back. You know, so we're not facing an elite up-tempo offense. You know, we're still playing the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they're hot. I understand it. They have a great defense down there, number four in the NFL. But you know what? We got to come out here and win. We got to come out here and show why we're in contention in this NFC North. You know, I expect Matt Stafford not to turn the football over, and I want to see more the tight end used. Regardless if Calvin plays or not, you know, we got three to choose from, but we got to get them more involved. You know, we can't just come out here with the vanilla playbook every time because he may not play, you know, so we got to, I'm not saying have the same offense as when Calvin's in there, but we got to open up a little bit more to put ourselves in successful third and shorts and to actually open up more for Reggie Bush. There's no threat of throwing the ball down the field. They're going to load the box up like Green Bay did, and we're going to have the same results. But I believe defensively we can get Brandon Whedon to turn the football over a couple more times, and I think we got a real good shot to go in here and come out with a win.
Now, see, Rush, it sounds like this is the second time you've said this, so I want to ask you about this. You keep talking about the playbook getting opened up, so obviously you're talking about Linehan calling better plays. So this is what I want to talk about because, I mean, I want you to talk about this because I think that our wide receivers without Calvin stink. Like, that's what I think. I think Pettigrew used to be good, now he can't catch a cold, and I think everyone else is pretty bad. So I don't think it matters as much what the play calling and open things up, but I want you to talk about that more because I got to be honest, I disagree with that. I just don't think we're very good.
Well, if you know that we're not going to throw the ball down the field, what chance does that have for Reggie Bush actually producing offensively? You know, if it's 8-9 in the box, that's tough to run with, you know. And I understand, granted, we don't have Calvin. That's why I said we got to utilize these three tight ends that we do have, incorporate them within the passing game. Ryan Burrows, we have to incorporate him somewhere within this passing game. I'm not saying throw 9 routes to Durham every time down the field because, heck, one-on-one with Joe Hayden, that's a mismatch. But in order for us to get this explosive offense that we have, minus Calvin, it won't be as explosive, obviously, but we have to actually attempt to throw the ball down the field. Somebody has to step up. Patrick Edwards, it's been all this talk about him in the preseason. He has to step up. What I'm saying is this. We have to actually take a chance in order for give Reggie Bush a chance, because you're not going to run. I don't care how good you are. You're not going to run on this box. You know, he's saying box like Barry Sanders saying, and this is not no disrespect to him, but it's not going to work. You know, so you have to open it up some kind of way. You can't peel back everything. You know, you got to give them a little something to work with and trust your quarterback. Trust your quarterback and trust these guys that you've signed. Nobody's Calvin Johnson. No one man in this world
as good as Calvin Johnson on that football field. But you know what? You got to actually take a chance and open the offense up a little bit more just to give your star running back a chance.
Now, T-Will, I want to let you in because you're a football coach. I want to get your opinion on this because, like I said, I don't know the terminology. I just watch the games. You know, I got some, you know, common sense techniques. But, T-Will, what I see is this. I see a right receiver group with Calvin Johnson. We're very good. And without them, we just stink. Like, that's just my opinion. So, do you agree that we need to open up the playbook more? Or do you just think that, hey, guys, I'm going to be honest. If Calvin Johnson not playing, we won't be successful because we're not that good.
We just won't be successful. There is no opening up the playbook. Calvin has the playbook opened up as wide as the playbook can possibly get. So, when we say that we won't be exciting offense or you know, offense that can really get off without Calvin, well, there's none of that. There's none of that at all. You know, it's almost like when you were a kid and you went to light that firecracker and it didn't go off. Yeah, that's the Lions offense without Calvin Johnson. There's no bang to it. There's zero bang. So, no, that's just who we are, and we can just try to, you know, manage the clock, you know, make sure we take some time off, you know, try to hit some quick three-step routes, work our short game, you know, maybe challenge someone up the sideline every now and again. But realistically, guys, we're going to see an eight-man box, you know, single coverage on the outside. And our number two, well, I'm not going to say two because Burleson is number two. Our number three and four guys who are actually playing the number one and two position, they're not going to get away from these starting corners in the NFL. So, I mean, there's really no need to really challenge those guys because we already know that's a better matchup. So, I mean, it's just going to be tough. Without Calvin, guys, it's going to be tough. I mean, we're not a good offense without him. We're just not. Usually you can lean on your defense and your running game, but at the same time, hey, we can't have a running game without Calvin because no one respects our running game if we don't have Calvin. So it's basically going to be a long day for us, guys. It's going to be a long day because the defense is going to have to score. Special teams are going to have to make plays. Everyone's going to have to bring something to the table if Calvin Johnson isn't playing.
Yeah, see, I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, I hear where Shane is coming from, but see, I agree with you. I just think we stink without him. Like, no offense. You know, we don't have Burleson. Pettigrew, I have no idea. I think he still thinks it's preseason. But I got to be honest. I agree with you. I just think we stink without him. But hopefully we're not having this conversation next week about him not playing. And that's what I hope, because I mean, we can't beat a contender. You know, we can't even beat a decent football team. I should say that without CJ, in my opinion. But let's move on. C. Rush, let's go back to you and let's talk about the Texans. And yeah, I'll put it out there. Before the season started, they had majority of everyone coming back, the same coordinators in place. I said, you know what, Texans? That's my sleeper. That's who's going to finally get it done. And I don't know what is going on with Matt Schaub, C. Rush. What can you tell us what's going on, please?
I mean, we both picked stinking teams because I picked Atlanta beginning of the season. So maybe our picks are cursed. But you know what? It's finally coming to a head down there. You know, they're actually turning on him. You know, when I don't know, I'm not sure how long Gary Kubiak's been there, but this team was built to win now. And you know what? They're going up against teams in the AFC and heck, Denver. You can still put the Patriots in there. San Diego's looking good. Kansas City's looking good. Everybody's looking good. It's supposed to look good, but them. You know, and that's a tough thing. You know, when you got an elite team at your house in Seattle and you don't beat them, that can flip your season around because they went out to San Fran and got embarrassed, straight up embarrassed. Now they're hearing whispers all around that, hey, we got to make a switch at quarterback. We got to do this and that. That locker room is showing no stability because as of today, I haven't heard that Matt Schaub's our guy. I haven't heard that because you know what? Gary Kubiak may not believe it anymore. You throw a pick six in this many games in a row. I mean, it is what it is, but you can't keep putting your team in situations like this when you have an elite running back, an elite receiver who doesn't have that window of eliteness is coming down on him. You have J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing. That defense is solid. That defense is pretty good, in my opinion. But you keep putting them in bad spots, you're not going to win the football game. So it's a lot of stuff going on there, and that locker room is probably about to get torn apart because some people may want T.J. Yates. Some people want Schwab. Some people want Josh Freeman. You can't get him. So I'm not sure what they need to do to turn this around. But it has to be turned around quickly, or this season is going to be gone. You know, one more loss, this season could be a wash, and that's a failure to a team who had Super Bowl aspirations, to where not just you, but it's people, a lot of people, not just in the state of Texas, a lot of people nationwide are saying, okay, it'll be them in Denver in the AFC Championship, or and they can get to the Super Bowl. But you know what? It's disappointment. You know, they didn't get better. Now it doesn't get any better, because now they lose their tight end Owen Daniels for 4 to 6 weeks, so it's going to get a lot tougher on them.
Yeah, I jumped right off of that bandwagon and right on that Andrew Luck. I jump right on that one. I like the Colts, but you know, we want to continue to talk about the Texans here. But see, Rush, I mean, I heard this on TV. I heard an analyst say this, and I think it's one of the craziest things I've heard. But you know, you tell me if he's got a point. He said, you know, everyone is giving Matt Schwab a tough time about 4 pick-sixes in a row. They should be giving the team a tough time for not tackling after he threw the interception. Do you think that's crazy like me, or does he have a point?
I mean, I had to see the play personally, because you know what? It's been quarterbacks who tackle. They don't know how to tackle. They probably haven't tackled anybody since Little League. So, I mean, you never want to give up on a play, but you can't, like, you can't – that doesn't make his interception any greater or worse, you know. I mean, it is what it is. I don't understand the correlation of that. I mean, you never want to give up on a play. But he wasn't going to catch him anyway. I'm not sure which interception you're referring to, but I'm the last one I seen was the Sherman one. But he had no chance of catching him.
Well, no, he was just saying in general, like, you know, that we're giving him a tough time, but you know, we need to give the offense a tough time for not being able to tackle. So, I mean, like I said, it wasn't a play specifically. He was just saying in general that get off of his back.
No, that made no sense. He giving the defense the ball and they had a disadvantage. No, that's stupid.
Now, T. Will, I'll be honest. Now, a lot of quarterbacks get a lot of credit, you know, they get much more credit than they deserve when they win, and then when they lose, they get all the criticism that they don't deserve. But I got to be honest with you, he's one of the first quarterbacks that I've personally seen, T-Will, that deserves every single criticism that he's received. He's been terrible.
No, he has been terrible, fine, especially within the last 3 games, but... And I'm not a big Houston Texans fan. I wasn't really never on their bandwagon, you know. But what I would tell people is to calm down a little bit, okay? They came, they started off 2-0, okay? They started off 2-0. They lost their the next 3 games, okay? Now, they played against the Baltimore Ravens defense, Seattle Seahawks defense, which they only lost by a field goal, and the 49ers defense. So he played against 3 tough defenses. You know, so it's not like, you know, they went out there against the Jaguars and he stunk it up. You know, so, yes, he hasn't played up to his potential. But I look at things like, you know, he's playing with a rookie receiver who's starting at the number 2 spot for him, the guy from Clemson. You know, he has Andre Johnson and his 2 tight ends. Guys, we have to understand this, too. Their defense has to play better. They have to play better. When they lost to the Ravens, they gave up 30 points. They lost to San Francisco, you know, they scored 34 points on them. So the defense has to play better, too. You know, a lot of people talk about the Texans, but their defense is also something that they're supposed to be able to lean on. You know, and people talk about the, you know, the pick sixes for Schwab and the 4 in a row and setting NFL, you know, set history or whatever the case may be. I don't think that's as big as everyone says it is, because it could be something small that can be fixed. And think about it. Who record did he break? Who was tied for that record? It was John Elway and Peyton Manning. So understand this. Those are 2 basically Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He was tied with that because those guys, they get after it on the field. They're going to take those chances. And I'm not saying Schwab is a Hall of Fame quarterback at this point in his career. But what I'm saying is great quarterbacks, you know, they may have that off timing and things like that. And 3 pick-sixes may happen. You know, 3 to 4 may happen. And Schwab, you know, he broke their record. So, I mean, it can happen. And I don't think it's as bad as everyone thinks it is when they see that.
Now, T. Will, you bring up a good point there. I mean, like I said, that's football. They play once a week. We talk about it for 6 days. You know, we critique what they've done. And I agree with you. I think that this is overblown. But, T. Will, this has got to be mental on Matt Schwab, though. So I want you to talk about this, knowing that, okay, I agree with you, T. You bring a good point. it's not as big of a deal. But T. Will, you the quarterback. You Matt Schwab. You've been awful. You went four games with pick sixes. That's got to be weighing on him, though, T. Will.
Oh, without a doubt, fine. No, I'm not saying that he's not thinking about it at all, that he put it to the back of his mind, because that is weighing on him. Every time he drops back, take a three-step drop, a five-step drop, a seven-step drop, that goes through his mind, fine. I guarantee you, because the quarterbacks are so mental. Everything is a mental game to them, okay? So when you have four pick sixes in a row and four consecutive games, he knows this, fine, and it bothers him. Now he has to be even more mentally strong. He has to be more mentally strong. Kubiak is a great offensive mind, okay? So what he needs to do now is I think he needs to highlight his run game, you know, that stretch play, you know, the split zone. He needs to be more creative in the run game, you know, use that 1-2 punch that he has down there in Houston and maybe, you know, just have some play-action pass from Matt Schaub, you know, or something like that. You know, more screens involved, more short game. You know, so that's what I would think. I think I would have to go back and look at the game plan and kind of put him in a position to win and kind of lean on our defense and our running game to win games and actually put him in a position where he's a game manager. Just don't go out and lose us the game.
Yeah, I think he cried in the car. I think he cried after this one.
He definitely cried in the car. Yeah. He definitely did.
He definitely did. But see, Rush, real quick, T. Will talked about the mindset of the quarterback, but I want you to talk about the mindset of the other guys on the team. Because, see, Rush, I'm telling you right now, like a lot of people say this is overrated, and I was actually watching a sports game the other day, and people were making fun of this. Body language. And that is so important. And you could see the body language on Sunday night of his teammates like, oh, my goodness, is Josh Freeman on a plane to Houston? Because this guy is silly. So, see, Rush, I wanted you to talk about the mentality of his teammates.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be a given as well. You know, they talked about it a lot with Cam Newton. I was watching the game the other night, and Terrell Pryor has somebody watch him for his body language alone. So if you're giving off bad vibes and your teammates losing confidence in you, I mean, just by the visual effect, then that's going to affect the whole team. As a quarterback, you're a leader. You wear that C on your chest. They're looking at you every time you do something right or wrong. You know, you throw an interception. You know, some guys are coming back to the sideline, you know what I'm saying? But let's get it together. Let's do this. Let's do that. But you know what? If they're losing confidence in him, he's losing that team, you know, and that could be what it is, you know? Like after the Seattle game, I keep referring back to that because that's the last game that I really paid attention to. J.J. Watt looked like he had a lot more to say after that loss. You know, he really wanted to say that we put you all in this position and you couldn't get the job done. So it's a lot that goes along with that. You got to have confidence in your guys, you know, the same way that if the offense has a lead and you're cheering your defense on, say, hey, in this game for us, you know, it goes both ways. So once you start losing that confidence, it's like, geez, this dude got to go.
And see, Rush, you're right. That was the game. It was the late game on Sunday. It was Oakland versus the Chargers. And the analysts start making fun of that statement. I'm like, dude, body language is key, especially from the quarterback. You are the leader. You can't be out there looking like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. Even if you feel like that, you can't look like that. You know, it's the same thing as a coach. If you're on the sideline like, oh, my goodness, we suck, how you think your kid's going to play? You know, I mean, to me, you can't do that. Well, all right, you know, we'll see if they fix that up, but I've just got to be honest with you. Until they change that mentality and start having some confidence, I can't roll with the Texans. I just got to be honest. But we're going to talk about, in our last topic, we're going to talk about Jay-Z for a second here.
Thank you.
Thanks, C-Rush. That was a good Jay-Z impression, man.
Okay, fine.
What's up?
Hey, man, just let anybody out there know that if they need a body language coach for $60,000, I'm their guy.
I know that's right, man, but I'm just like, man, that's crucial, man. Like, you can't do that. And the guy was making fun of, like, body language don't matter. It's about results, man. You're the quarterback. If you in the huddle calling a play like, oh, ZX2Y swing, ready, break, they're going to be like, what? They're not going to want to play for you? You know, I've never been in a huddle since I was, like, 6 years old. But, T, am I right on that or what?
100% correct, because when those 10 guys look up at you and they look in your eyes, you're the guy that's calling the play. You're the guy that's leading this offense out here, you know, to get in the end zone. It's fourth down. There's 1 second left on the clock. We have to get in the end zone. You're driving this train.
You know, are you going to get us in or not? So if you believe as the Q, you have to show your teammates that they can believe in you, and they're going to break that huddle with pride, go to the line. Your O-line is going to kick somebody's butt. Your receivers are going to run some great routes. Your running backs are going to pass block for you, and you guys are going to get it done. It's just that simple. But if they know that you are lacking confidence and you don't know if you can get it done, then realistically it's going to rub off on them, and they're not going to know if they can get it done.
Yeah, I agree with that, T. I mean, leadership starts at the top. But, all right, let's talk about Hove here for a second. I just want to read a quote here. It's about budgets. It's about his, you know, his experience with budgets, difficult budgets. Quote, I know about budgets. I was a drug dealer. To be in a drug deal, you need to know what you can spend and what you need to re-up on. Close quote. T. Will. So, I mean, is that something that should be said? Do you just, you think he's going off his resume, his drug dealing on his resume? I mean, what you think about this?
Well, I 100% think that that reasoning is how he made his living, how he became a multimillionaire. You know, would I come out and say it? Probably not. You know, at this point in time in life, he doesn't need to say it. I mean, he's Jay-Z. He set trends, but he started trends. You know, he's created his own brand. There's no need to kind of tarnish everything that he's done, you know, and established today. You know, by going back and saying that, you know, it kind of drags everything through the mud. You know, the Rock-Aware things, the Jay-Z music, you know, his ownership, his entrepreneurial aspect of his career. You know, even though that probably realistically fine got him through every aspect of his life, it doesn't need to be said. So, I mean, whatever happened to him that made him feel like he needed to come out and say it, you know, he needed to leave that alone. So I don't know, but there's no need to come out and say it, fine. I mean, and realistically, like I said, he probably used that to get through everything in life and to get where he is right now.
Thank you. Now, see, Rush, I want to be honest here. I'm usually the one when people ask celebrities and athletes questions, see, Rush, and they give an honest answer. I'm usually the guy that's like, when everyone comes down on, they're like, oh my goodness, did he just say that? It's like, dude, he was honest. But see, Rush, I'm on the other side of the fence on this one. Even though T-Will, I'm not even going to say I think he's right. I know T-Will is right. That's probably why he was successful. That's where he learned his business skills from. That's sad to say, but that's where he learned his business skills from. But see, Rush, should he have alluded to this in the interview?
I mean, in 1996, when he released Reasonable Doubt, he already did. You know, he already said that my trap money put me in the game. So all he's doing is repeating what he said in 1996. Now, because he's not the same person as he was, no, he shouldn't have said it. But you know what? He said it back then. He alluded to it. But you know what? He was just speaking on how he feels and how the business world is ran and how it's parallel to other ventures that he's got into, you know. And the reasoning, me myself, why I don't like it being said, because you know why? He's not the same person he was back then. So he has more people, he has more of an audience, you should say, to who it's going to reach. And you don't want the youth thinking that, okay, well, I can do this and get rich like him. No, you can't. You know, that's that people got to do different things in their lives to get where they are. You know, everybody has a different avenue. You know, people aren't born into millions and thousands and hundred thousands of dollars. So you got to do what you have to do. So he could have worded it a little differently, but you know, it's true. You know, it's true for a lot of people. It's for a lot of stuff that we see. It's just better left unsaid.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I mean, call me crazy, but he should not have said this. There's too many people that idolize him, that look up to him. There's somebody right now, I'm telling you right now, and that's saying, oh, he said this, so it's okay for me to sell drugs. This is the only way I can be successful. This is the only way I can get my rap career going. This is the only way I can be successful in life is to sell drugs. That should not have been said from someone that's idolized like he is. That's just my opinion. He's a great businessman. Can't take that away from him. But the drug game, it's not a good game to be in. So I don't believe that he should have said that. I just don't. T. Will, you want to add something before we go to the pick'ems?
No, I'm fine. But I will say, Jay-Z, he set trends. You know, he's a role model to a lot of people. You know, not just kids, but some adults look up to that man. So
exactly.
And some guys on the street, they do understand, you know, because there's other people who is not as successful or have as much money as Jay-Z, but they've done the same thing. You know, they started off in that life and it took them somewhere else in life. And, you know, they kind of were successful in life and they understand where their roots are, that they got it from that. You know, and you have to respect them from coming out of that life and coming out of that world. But I just don't think that's something at this point in life. I think that's something you have to mature on and you don't want to come out and just, you know, be bragging upon that.
Thank you. All right. Hey, C. Rush, man, you real nice at that Jay-Z impression for real, man.
Yes.
All right. Let's go. Let's get into the pick'ems, guys. We're going to start with this one. Let's start with a Thursday night doozy. The new Southern California takes the field, you know, post Lane Kiffin era, guys. So, T. Will, let's start with you. Arizona visits Southern Cal. Southern Cal -6. And no one knows what to expect. But who you got, T. Will?
I'm going with Rich riding a high-scoring offense. I'll take Arizona +6.
Oh, hey, I got to be honest. I love new energy. I love it. I love new energy, and I got to go with Southern Cal. New energy always works, even if this guy's not successful, but they will be successful on Thursday night. I got to go Southern Cal -6. C. Rush, what you got?
No Marquise Lee, no USC. Give me Arizona.
Whoa. Didn't know the injury report there. I got to be honest. Let's see if that new energy can make up for that loss. All right. Let's jump to the SEC doozy, C. Rush. Florida visiting LSU. LSU -7. Who you got?
I'm going to take LSU. I haven't been impressed by Florida since Tebow was back there.
Yeah, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with Florida at all this year. I just got to be honest. I'm going LSU. Even though these SEC games are tough, you saw how Tennessee played Georgia. They actually should have won, in my opinion. But I don't see this one being close. I just don't. Death Valley's going to get ugly. I think this one's not even really going to be close. So I go with LSU as well. T. Will, who you like in this one, man?
First off, I just want to say I see you guys in Oakland for game 5, but I'm definitely I got to go with LSU, guys. Florida, it just doesn't have that luster anymore like it used to be, and I really do think Muschamp, his days are numbered down there in the swamp.
Yeah, well, might buy him. I was thinking about that too, T. Will. That's a good point you bring up, but I think that showing in the BCS bowl game last year, they kind of flirted with the top 5. I think it's going to buy him a grace period, but he's not the guy. That slow offense they run. You got the best athletes. You're in Florida. I agree with you, T. I don't think he's the guy, but maybe he'll get an extra time, you know, because of last season. So let's go on to our final one, T. Will. We'll stick with you. Oregon is going to visit Washington, and you know they always the favorites. -13.5, T. Will, and they going to the Great Northwest. Who you got, T. Will?
I'm going to take Oregon, -13.5. I think Oregon offense is faster than fast. They haven't even came out with a word for it yet. And I just think regardless, 2 touchdowns is being very generous, even in conference.
Yeah. Give me Oregon after what I saw, what they did to Tennessee. And I picked Tennessee to cover that spread. After I saw that doozy, I definitely going with Oregon. I just don't see this one being close. It might scare me a little bit if Washington beat Stanford last week. I might go, I don't know. But I got to definitely take Oregon. See, Rush, close it out. Who you got, man?
Yeah, Washington played Stanford tough, but they didn't beat them. And I think that Oregon's going to beat the brakes off of Washington by over 13 points. Yeah, they're just too fast.
Yes, sir. I agree. I think we all can agree on that one. Well, all right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. Sorry for the absence of the Wilson Rush podcast. Send us some emails. Let's get this thing back going. WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. C. Rush, you have a good show?
Always had a good show, especially when the Tigers win.
T. Will, how you feel?
Man, I'm good, man. And, you know, great show, guys. And it's nothing like taking a show, you know, from the winner's circle to the internet.
Yes, sir. And, yeah, we got to win game 5. We got to keep this thing going. Go Tigers. We always represent 7 Mile, and we out.